Did your brands come along accidentally? Was it very purposeful? Was it strategized? Did you kind of go, oh shit, how did that happen?
I actually find the barbering industry, or used to, quite tacky. So many people would come into my chair and be like, oh, I'm looking for a barbershop and been getting my hair cut at the Turkish barbershop, and Turkish barbershops can be great. You can see that they're not looking to walk into just that standard barbershop in and out service. So I wanted to create this environment that isn't actually a barbering product. It's a men's hair salon experience.
Guys, when I was in the 90s and stuff, wouldn't want to tell you that they maybe tinted the hair the side or coloured
or want to come across
or anything like that. Now, I know guys that it's like a badge of honour that they've had a hair transplant, but good on them. Why not have that time? And personally, I have a massage every week. I have a bit of Gary time.
I don't know why that makes me feel uncomfortable.
I know. You know what I'm talking about.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laband, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, I'm Anthony Laband, and we are the Noble Barber Podcast. I am here with Gary Spencer, the Great British Barber Bash. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
And Gianni Cardinali.
Hello. Right? Perfect. He's good, isn't he?
Yeah,
first one's better, but it's good.
a great part one. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've listened to it. If not, go back and do so now. I really wanted to talk about your brands, because obviously Barber Bash has become a really significant brand, really recognisable, really, really, you know, really easy to locate. And your Cardinali Collective,
that's one.
I mean, it's a great building, but equally, everything you've been you're doing is creating this really tight, clean, and as you say, international brands for both of you. And I speak to so many people, you know, if they are little one man bands in their kitchen or first shops moving into two, everyone wants a brand.
Yeah.
Did your brands come along accidentally? Was it very purposeful? Was that something that you sat down at your desk and drew out and worked out? Was it strategized? Or did you kind of go, oh shit, how did that happen?
So for me, I was obviously part of a very big brand before I decided to venture off. And I was very undecided of what direction I wanted to go down, whether I wanted to be a kind of lone wolf, you know, kind of educator. You see a lot of people now that are solely doing education. They've closed their shops and they're literally just traveling and they're educating. You got people like Sean Moore, Andrea O'Magri, these sort of people in the men's hair world that are doing that. And I was a little bit undecided. But what I knew I wanted was I definitely wanted to have one of the best men's hair salons in London. Now, to do that, I was, of course, needed a team. So the first thing I needed to do was create a brand name. And I didn't want to just make it Gianni Cardinali. I didn't want to make it just my name, because I feel like it will be hard to get people to, you know, be under and have a passion for a brand that's just literally my name. So what I decided to do was, I loved my surname and everybody said to me, you have to use your surname.
It's better than Gary Spencer, isn't it? Let's be honest.
So we went, I was like, okay, I'm going to use Cardinali, but I need it to bring people together. I need it to be about a mission statement, something that, you know, people can all together agree on. And I actually got advice from a guy that owns a fashion company or whatever. And he said, you know, he asked me what my goals are, what do I want to do? And he said, it needs to have collective in it. And I was like, okay. He was like, yes, it's a collective vision. You're going to, if you teach people, if you have people in your shop cutting together, it's a collective. And I was like, that actually works. It sounds right. Cardinali Collective.
I love it, you know.
So then from that, it just had this ring to it and I wanted to use it. And if you actually saw the logo, the collective is in front of the name Cardinali, which basically means that the people within the collective are always pushing the brand further. So that's why the collective is ahead of the Cardinali. But not only the reason why I wanted to use Cardinali, but my dad and his dad were both really good hairdressers. So I wanted to really put our name on the map a little bit as well. Mm. And then it was about it was really about, okay, how do we brand this correctly? And I don't know if you've seen how the brand looks, but we've tried to go for, Aesop was one of my biggest inspirations. Yeah. And I wanted to have something that was very earthy, kind of wabi-sabi, these light kind of brown concrete tones. Everything is like concrete tones. And I didn't really see that in the men's hair world at all. And now I'm starting to see it a lot. I don't know if that's just from inspiration or just where we're going, but it's everywhere. That kind of look is in Zara now. It's in, you know, you go to a lot of restaurants, coffee shops, they have that kind of look. Yeah. It's quite in at the moment, but that's where we kind of went with that. And I just wanted the brand to be very, very minimal and look very, very high end. And that's, you know, how it's gone. I didn't quite intend for it to kind of go where it's going, but it's a good thing because we have this with three streams. We've got the online, the international education, and the salon. So it's beautiful.
And it's the same branding right the way across everything. And it really works. No, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you haven't checked out the store, do have a look. And then Barber Bash.
Well, where do we start with this one? It was, obviously I'd always done education, both in hairdressing, and then we'd started doing stuff at the very, very offset with Barber Bash. Was I was doing some stuff with Sid Sotong.
Yeah.
And I was in Spain. I had a house in Spain. I was walking around this pool and all of a sudden I had this idea. It was like a eureka moment to do Barber Bash. And the idea was to do an event that would be just for barbers, not that little bit of stuff at the back of Salon International with a couple of guys that are always there on. And it was going to be this great thing with several people on stage and would charge money for a ticket. I went back to my wife was lying there and went, Barber Bash. We knew Barber Bash. Anyway, I then went out for a coffee with a friend of mine who was working with Johnny Barber. And he said, call it the Great British Barber Bash. So that's how that came about, which, funnily enough, I'm not that keen on anymore. There is reasons why.
Well, I guess you've now become an international.
I don't like
thing,
it.
Isn't it.
And also, yeah, there's I'm sort
you're
of
feeling a bit
I'm
reforming questioning all of this.
It. Also, it's quite a long name. Yeah. Sorry, there's that. But then as far as like the actual image of it all, my best friend Craig is a graphic designer and he's a good graphic designer as well. My other best friend is a guy called Mark who does photography. And it was funny, when we did the first couple of shows, he was taking photographs and he went, I'm going to do video. And I'm like, well, why would we want a video? That's 12 years ago, 11 years ago. And now, obviously, everything's gone video crazy.
Yeah, everything's video.
But I was like, I need convincing. But luckily, it wasn't just my thought process, all this. It was Mark and it was Craig and it was influences. Mm-hmm. Also, from the barbers I was working with, I originally started working with Alan Beak a lot. Then along came people like Hayden Cassidy and other people who we've met down the road, like John Carmona, the Titan Barber.
Yep.
And then more recently, people like Jarny and Josh. So, yeah, so that's how the brand came about. But, you know, it all takes a lot of work, really, and a lot of thought. You've got to think everything through.
I do like that it came from an element of collaboration as well. That, others got involved. That you do kind of send it out and bring it back. But the kind of past the logo and past the shops, you've managed to get that kind of voice out there, which is, again, the next level of branding that everyone aspires to.
Yeah,
they want to be seen as a brand.
Again, with that, another funny story. I was doing our first show, and the first ever show I did, I had no money at that time, and we did it in a hotel that let us use it for nothing in Southport. We called it the Northwest Barber Bash.
Excellent.
And this was my idea. It was going to be Northwest, South, and whatever. And after that show, we did it with Danny Robinson, Alan Beak, Sid Sotong, and the Master Barbers in Southport, the very traditional guys.
Very cool.
And afterwards, I knew that that wasn't what I was going to continue to do. I was going to look for these hip places. There's a place called Camp and Furnace in Liverpool, all like reclaimed furniture, that kind of vibe. So from that, it sort of evolved very quickly. But I remember sitting with Danny Robinson just before that show, and he said, "Have you heard of Instagram? Are you going to do Instagram?" I'm like, "What the hell?"
What
are you on about Instagram? Anyway, so we started Instagram when it first started. So we've been lucky. Well, not lucky, but we've got 60-odd thousand followers.
Yeah, so you've rise with the growth
but
of Instagram.
But we rose with it. Like, now it hardly moves. Mm. But we put some effort into it. We posted almost daily, and we rode the wave of putting pictures out, and we get loads of likes on them. It all changes all this stuff. But when I've seen people like Sam Rascals, for instance, ride that wave of TikTok and get millions of followers, it's been there. You've got to hit it at the right time. You've got to understand the algorithm, and there's a bit of science goes into all that.
Yeah, I remember when I first got into the industry, there was three main people that really inspired me, and it was because of their branding. And the first one was obviously Ruger, Alan Beak and Reese and stuff. And at the time, nobody had branding like that.
Yeah.
They had this, again, they had that minimal wide spacing kind of logo. The shops look so different to anything I've ever seen in barbering. And then you had Menspire, very similar. It was more of a salon look than a barbering look. No barber poles. It was all just it was a whole different thing. And then you had somebody called Morris Motley. I don't know if you guys know this guy out of Australia. He had this studio at the time. He doesn't work in a studio anymore. He solely does products. But at the time, he had this stunning, open, white studio. And those brands just really spoke out to me because they were portraying something that is fresh for the men's world. And I took so much from that into this brand that I'm doing now, because I actually find the barbering industry, or used to, quite tacky. Yeah. And so many people would come into my chair and be like, oh, you know, I'm looking for a barbershop, and you know, I've been getting my hair cut at the Turkish barbershop, and Turkish barbershops can be great, but they're not, you can see that they're not looking to walk into just that standard barbershop in and out service. So I wanted to create this environment that isn't actually a barbering product. It's a men's hair salon experience. And I think that these guys were kind of the first to do it. Mm. And I really wanted to bring that into my space. And you basically start to bring in the right sort of clientele that have a bit more passion for their hair. And it's,
I think that's it. If you build it, they will come. If you build it in that way, it will appeal to...
You'll attract exactly what you're trying.
I think that's it. You've got... I mean, this is why I'm always interested in you, Gary, and the fact that like you said before, you're at the beginning of the whole kind of hair industry, the men's hair industry change. You know, there has been hundreds of years of heritage before that. And there's definitely a place where there's some great looking shops that do have the barber pole.
I like what Gianni's doing. I do admire the way you've done that.
You've got
image.
Those Beautiful. Very different bank. It definitely went that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
And you're seeing that.
Do you know a fun story I'll tell you, which is one of my favourite stories, is I can remember when we were first starting doing Barber Bash, probably before we were doing Barber Bash, and I talking about branding, and I watched this video, and it was Scorum. And I remember it was a Sunday evening, Nikki was making roast dinner, and I went, watch this. And I was like all excited about these videos. And I went, look at this. This is what I want to work with these guys.
Yeah. It's revolutionary for the time.
Anyway, 6 months later, you talk about sort of manifesting things. I got a phone call to meet a guy in Southport, and he wanted to meet me at this lovely hotel. And his PA or his assistant was a girl from Southport, where I live. And I sat down with this guy called Xavier Burrell. It's a fantastic name. It's like Gianni Cardinale, isn't it? Xavier Burrell.
Sorry, still beating Gary Spencer.
I call him Dave. and he sat down in the hotel with me, and he said, have you heard of Scorum? And I went, yeah. And you heard of Ruzel? Said, yeah. So, well, we're going to launch in the UK, and we want you to launch it for us. We want you to do an event for us. And I went, I remember going there. It was like a bit of a moment where I'm like, am I hearing this, really? I remember skipping down Lord Street afterwards on my way home after the meeting. And they were bringing it to the UK, and basically they wanted me to put an opening evening. We called it a barbering, boozing, and misbehaving, because that was the image.
Definitely
the
image, yeah.
And the guys came over, and we did it at a place called the Victoria Warehouse, which is now used by HairCon. But this was 10 years ago. But again, just how...
I still haven't finished it.
No. that's how sort of I saw this brand and sort of was ultra excited about working with them. And then it came along serendipitously, good word. You know, it just manifested, it happened. Yeah. And that was a real break for us, you know?
I remember you said about Danny Robinson, and he always said, we were talking about collaborations and that kind of stuff. And he always said, you know, look for brands that work for you, that seem to link, that, you know, your company, you could scan central London and find the brands that kind of link with your look.
Yeah.
And you'd probably find some of your customers wandering in there, buy a shirt, drink their coffee, have their lunch. It would all fit in with that. Do you know what I mean? That demographic, that's that grouping.
Yeah, but I think as well, though, that you kind of, as Gary was just saying about, what was it called? Party and Misbehaving.
Barbering, boozing and misbehaving.
Yeah, that really was... what it was, that's what it was
that,
about.
That was their image at the time.
It was head to toe tattoos, like, you know, and that was everybody, so many barbershops from that kind of era were bringing that into their towns and their, and they're almost like copying that kind of identity and the mustache and everything like that. But I think how the industry is shaping as well now is how not just the hair industry, but the actual... the beauty industry, the way men care about themselves more, the way that we are, you know, there's like these run clubs that everybody seems to be doing now, and I think that the barbering industry or the men's world is changing with the way the world is changing, and that's why, you know, you go to the, there's so many like of these artisan coffee shops everywhere, and it's very health pushed, and it's very this, very
Facebook. You never get, it's all about these health supplements through everything.
And I think,
isn't it?
No, but I think that the hair industry is going with it in a way, it really is. And we're almost moving away in a different sort of way. And
but men, as your clients, your men are much more aware of, I mean, you know, really much more aware of their look,
100%.
You know, I mean, you know, I think I've been cutting hair 40 years next year. Aren't you awake? What do you reckon? I definitely now find, you know, even in the last 5 or 6 years, men have a much stronger idea of their identity, their look. I definitely have more pictures brought in. This is what they...
Very conscious.
Yeah, they're very confident to show me pictures of celebrities. Yeah. And not just young guys, older guys that are wanting that look. The midlife crisis is kicking in, and
it's like
they're very clear about how they look and what they
more
buy.
More men's haircuts are Googled than ladies' haircuts now, and amazing, that's been the same for the last 5 years. But guys, when I was in the 90s and stuff, wouldn't want to tell you that they maybe tinted the hair at the side or coloured
or want to come across
or anything
like
that. Now, I know guys that it's like a badge of honour that they've been to Turkey and had the teeth done, or a badge of honour that they've had a hair transplant. Ollie Foster, I don't know whether you know, was a hair transplant. I don't mind saying, because it's fantastic. It's brilliant. And I know what that did for his confidence, because I know that he was lacking in confidence because he was losing his hair and stuff. But good on him. You know, why not have that time? And personally, I have a massage every week. I have a bit of Gary time, you know. I think
I don't know why that makes me feel uncomfortable.
I know. You're not talking about...
sorry, mate.
But, you know, men should look after themselves. They are doing. But I just want to go back a little bit to what you were talking about when we were about brands a minute ago. And again, John, you'll know this as well. We went through a period where people were getting lined with brands, and brands would say, do you want some free clippers? Do you want some free scissors? And again, we went through that 8-10 years ago. It's very important, especially with somebody like Gianni or whoever it might be, if you do want to get these ambassadorships and brands connecting with your brand, don't just do it for a free pair of scissors or a free pair of clippers. Make sure that it's a brand that you want to work with. Otherwise, it can be a very short-lived thing and quite transient.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that going back 8-9 years ago, people going, oh, I'm an ambassador for this product this week, and then next week I'm an ambassador for these clippers. And everybody's going, well, why would you be an ambassador for those clippers? You
know? They don't represent
they don't represent the quality.
And
of
I think
doing,
it comes,
you know,
back to that integrity. It's about what works for you and what you want, and put that first. You know, I mean, you know, I got a lot of time for Simon Shaw at Wahl, and one of the main ones is it's just so clear cut. If you've been hawking someone else's clippers around for a couple of years, you're not going to start hawking Wahl's.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I quite like that level of integrity that these are the brand I properly believe in.
Yeah.
Rather than these are the brand I properly believe in this week.
And another quick story on that one is, be careful with your social media. If you want to work with brands, we had a situation where we were asked to work for the NFL, the American Football League. They were coming to London to do a big, whatever it was, in Wembley, and they wanted us to do some hair for them. And I suggested a barber that was over at the site from Canada, a mate of mine, Chink, he's a brilliant barber, but he had this thing on his social media, he did this all the time.
Right.
Well, they wouldn't have it because their brand, they had to explain this to the guy who was paying them, the big guy, paying the money. And they don't want people who are doing any kind of obscenity, profanity. Yeah. So, you know, if you're one of these guys that argues with people on Facebook over nothing or gets angry about, you know, tells too much of your personal stuff on social media, just think about that if you do want to move into working with brands.
Yeah, and to add to that, I remember when we opened the studio and I needed to bring a product line in. And personally, I'm not the biggest fan of your typical barbering products.
Yeah.
You know, with the way the shop looks and how modern and sleek it is, to then put in Uppercut or something like that, it might not kind of suit the brand. Mm. That's not to say like Uppercut is bad or anything. It's just about the image, the whole brand image. So I was looking, I was getting contacted by all different companies. You know, Slick Gorilla messaged me and Crazy Ball messaged me. And, you know, these are great companies, but I just wanted it to align more with the brand. And just down the road, I noticed there was this beautiful building being built. And I walk in one day and I say, oh, what is this? And they said, oh, this is going to be the new Davinas headquarters in the UK.
Cool. Yeah.
And this woman literally grabbed me and started speaking to me. Amazing woman. She's the one that designs all of these kind of spaces for Davinas all around the world. And I started to look into the brochures. I started to look into the brand and what it's about and the way it looks. And she got me contacted with some of the big guys in Davinas. And then she spoke to somebody I look up to, Johnny Othana from Alilon. And I was like, I have to get these guys in. The way the product looks, the way everything it's about, and it's not even a barbering product, but we sell out like that with it to the men because it's creams, it's quite like organic hairsprays, it's not even any paste, wax, and it's nothing like that. It's all stuff for longer hair, free flowing. And it just works with the brand so much. Mm. And I think it goes back to what Gary was saying, is you don't want to just put anything in because you want to get more fame or you want to get more exposure. You have to be really, really true to what your brand is, what you believe in. Someone will be out there for you.
It adds to the cake rather than takes away, isn't it? And I think that's if you're too keen. I mean, we've been chatting with sponsors for the podcast here. We've been unsponsored for 18 months, and obviously we've had lots of conversation. It's finding those brands.
Tenor Lady was one for you, wasn't it?
Cheers, mate.
Sorry,
that's just ruined that one. That's killed that deal. But yeah, those things, you know, it is finding things that you feel comfortable with and you like. And I think
got to be genuine
when you've got brands that you're proud of and that you've invested yourself in. You should have pride in what else you contribute and what you lend your name to. Yeah. I think it's really vital.
Yeah, and that's it. With us, we've been lucky. We work with a great scissor company. We work with a great clipper company. And obviously, Osmo have supported us for 10 years. But don't just be there to take from that company. Be that you've got to work with the company and grow together. And again, the support we've had from Osmo over the years has been phenomenal, including like international travel, obviously, support at the shows and stuff like that. But again, you know, we keep up our end of the bargain as well with them as well. It's not just a take kind of situation.
Yeah. Mind you, while we're on that, let's move abroad. You guys doing a fair bit of air miles, didn't you?
need to get
how does that work? You know, again, this is another touch subject of everyone wants to run around the planet. When it comes to barbering celebrity, your carbon footprint seems to go out the window and everyone wants to head off. You know, highs, lows, good bits, best destinations?
It's
Is it as sexy and cool as it looks?
Firstly, I'll tell you this. It's definitely not what it looks like. That's the biggest thing. And in the men's hair world, in the hair world in general, we see these barbers. It looks like they're fully booked throughout the year. And some of them actually are. And people aspire to that and say, okay, I want to be an international educator. In fact, I've had people come to me and goes, I want to work for you because I want to be an international educator. Well, it doesn't work like that, for one. And secondly, you see these people traveling around the world. You can't imagine how much expenses they have. You can't imagine how stressful it is on their families, their girlfriends, their whatever. And also, on a more plus side, to be able to get to that point of doing that and traveling around the world, it is an amazing achievement, which I believe takes years and years and years of growing yourself, being surrounded by the best sort of people and building contacts. And, you know, it is an amazing thing. I've done so much of it now where the majority of the stuff I'm getting, I'm now rejecting. Because I've tasted what it's like to just go to a country and you know, make a bit of money and get some exposure. But when you've done that so much, you know that there's certain things in your business where you can actually make more money. And that doesn't really appeal to you anymore because you've done so much of the traveling, you've done so much of the shows. It's like, okay, what actually appeals to you now? What actually do you want to be a part of? What brands do you want to be associated with? Yeah, it's amazing. It really, really is amazing. For my young guys that are with me and my team, for them, it's like how it was for me when I first did it. They're just so excited to come to Glasgow. Yeah. They're so excited to do all these amazing things. And it's, for me, it's a real honor. And I get excited to give it to them now, pass it on, just as it was passed to me. But yeah, it's amazing. I see some educators I know for a fact, they're not getting approached. They're doing the approaching.
Yeah.
And they're now traveling around the world and approaching these organizers who have contacted other big educators and saying, well, do you fancy getting me on? And it seems to work. So there's a bit of a manipulation kind of thing going on there as well. But I think that there's nothing more authentic and incredible when, you know, you get invited to go to Brazil by one of the biggest organizers in Brazil to teach in front of hundreds of people. Because they've seen your work and they generally love it. That's what it's about.
And there's pros and cons. I think travel is fantastic and it's mega for your exposure. You know, like, for instance, the guys worked with us, we went to Taiwan twice last year, I think, and the year before. And it does create a buzz for your shop. So that's a very positive thing. What Gianni's saying is, like, when we're in Naples and it's January, and you're in a hotel, and you're not in Naples, you're actually 25 miles outside. It costs you 50 quid to get in a taxi, and you're sat in a hotel, and there's two other people in the hotel, and the bar's closed. And that sometimes can be a bit like that, which happened to us last year. Naples in January isn't the best place. It's great other times, but January, it's very cold.
That takes the Naples...
but you know, it's the balance.
June, July, August. I'm sure
June, July, August. But it's the balance. So you get great PR by being out there and being seen to do it. It's not always unicorns and rainbows, which is my favourite saying. Thirdly, you've got to charge correctly for it, because, like Gianni's saying, when we did the first Taiwan trip, the guy said to me, "Cheeky, we were doing 4 days over there. We had 3 days in between. He was going to take us to Vietnam." He said, "Well, we won't pay you for those." Well, hang on. How can we be, if we're out there, it's not our fault we're out there for 3 days. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think he was asking us to pay our own accommodation or something for those 3 days. What do you want to do? Go home and come back. But you've got to work out, even your car park is going to cost you 180 quid. Then you've got your fuel. Then you've got your getting there, eating, drinking, and whatever. So again, that's a bit where I come in, where I say to the company, well, it's going to cost you £4,000 or whatever it might be. And they might think that's expensive, but it's not. It's not. By the time you've added on all those bits and pieces, and Gianni's been out of his shop for a week, which he could have took X amount of pounds in. So, you know, you've got to do it right. You can do a bit with the heart, but eventually it has to be with the head, doesn't it? Yeah. You know?
I mean, I think that comes back to what we're saying. It is a matter of look at the fine print, make sure you're actually doing it for the right reasons. But, you know, your team, I come back to one of the reasons I quite like what you do, because you'll do Taiwan, which does sound quite fun.
Yeah.
And then you do, like, Crawley. And I'm not laughing at Crawley. I just love the fact that I'll flick through yours and it's like, oh yeah, the Barber Bash guys were all out in Taiwan.
In Yeovil.
And then you're in exactly Bristol comp. You know,
we have two very
you go into the colleges and the schools. It's amazing.
We have different hats on, if you like. So at the moment we supply college kits to colleges, and with that they get free education, and that's boomed for us over the last few years. This year we've done 1,000 kits. Wow. And it's done really well. So we have our college hat on, and then we have our international travel hat on, where we might be at Amsterdam at the great show they do over there. Miranda and Mark do a great show in Amsterdam, so that's more theatrical, dramatic, video screens, models dressed a certain way. Crawley College on a Tuesday night will be more a hairdresser, a lot of hairdressers in the audience going through clipper guards, basic clippering techniques a lot of the time.
But you still look like you give that kind of element of Barber Bash to it.
Well,
I
honestly believe that people won't go on a Tuesday night to Crawley College and learn how to cut hair. If they can cut hair, they can cut hair. What we can give them is inspiration and motivation. I wanted them to come and the next morning be buzzed up to go back in the shop. And that's what I think it's all about. I think if you can go to a couple of Barber Bash events or whatever event it might be, go to 2 or 3 a year, and it just gives you a little injection and then you get it again, you get it again. That's what we can give them.
I think that's the commodity. I mean, you know, you were saying about where you get inspiration, and I think it is part of your responsibility as you kind of move up the pecking order is that you become inspiring for younger ones.
Be approachable, connect with the audience. We love it. We love having a selfie with the guys at the end, and we love getting those messages, and I'm sure Gianni does, and when people say, oh, I had a fantastic night tonight, you know, and I really loved Ollie, I love Brody and whatever. Never say they like me. It's the motivation. And generally when you get a lot of hairdressers and barbers together, they can have a good time unless you do something wrong. But, you know, making somebody who's been in the industry 15, 20 years go away and feel as though they've got a bit of passion for the next day, that's a good thing.
No, I was in, we were in Belfast, and I think last week's episode was... Justine from the Belfast Met, who was one of the best conversations I've had.
Yeah, no, we supply their kits, by the way,
to everybody else. But you know, shit, they've really nailed it, and I'm so impressed. And if you haven't seen that episode, please go back and have a look. But how have you found, you know, I mean, obviously you're being invited in by these colleges, so they have more of an insight to what the industry is about. But how are you seeing the kind of college contribution to educating our youth?
Some really positive ones, a lot of very positive ones, like Belfast Met. We're going to Belfast Met, I think January it might be, and they have invested in getting people like us in, and other educators. I know Mark Hawthorne had gone back, he was a student there, and he'd gone back in, and again it's down to the individuals, like Justine and the guys there are fantastic. I speak to colleges. I was on to one today, Norwich College, this morning. We're going in there. We're going to Yeovil. We're going to Crawley. We're going to North Harts and all over the place. And again, it's down to those special educators. If they're motivated, it's contagious for the students. Yeah. However, of course, there are a couple that aren't so you know, motivated. But again, what we can do when we go in is, you can't be a preacher in your own land, is one of my old sayings.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the students might not listen to the teacher that they're with every week, when we go in, it's all like fresh ears. So we can give it that little bit of showbiz, I suppose, and that little bit of oomph, and hopefully give them that little bit of shot of motivation.
No, it's very impressive to do that mileage and then just head down the A23.
Yeah.
Do you train? Have you got apprentices? Is that something that
we
like
don't
to...
we don't have any apprentices as of yet. I mean, I would love some. I think that it's a real struggle at the moment in the men's hair world of getting people, you know, through the door, and you know, they're looking to, you know, get money quite quickly, and some of them aren't really willing to, you know, get their head down and just get it going. I'm slap bang in central London, and I think it's quite tough for people to afford
to do
kind
it
of
on next to
exactly. So it's a tricky one. There's definitely ways about it. You know, as of recently, I've had to sponsor you know, someone to stay in the country. I think that's one way you can do it, but it's very, very expensive. But no, back to, you know, what you were both talking about you know, from Crawley to Taiwan. You know, we also do just quite similar to that, actually. We do education everywhere. And as of recently, I got to go down to, like, for example, London School of Barbering, which was a company that I used to watch before I was even a barber, and to see what they're about and teach, you know, fellow barbers in there. Some of them, I have to admit, didn't seem like they were very interested, but some of them really did.
That's it.
But what I've noticed is, you know, when you go to, for example, we're going to Texas in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be around some people that are going to be like seriously engaged because they've actually paid to be on. But then you can be in somewhere like, you know, a college format where you get some people that are kind of not really interested. They're kind of not really sure what they're doing in the industry. But the information always stays the same. The idea, and to be authentic, is to always relay the same passion and the same information to inspire, you know, the next generation, or to inspire someone to get to their next level.
Yeah, basically. And again, you know, focus on the positive. Well, focus on the positive ones. At the end of the day, yeah, when you go into a college, there are some people there who are only there because the mum and dad have told them they need to do something. And then you've got other people that really make your day, that really are amazed you've come along. They've had the best day, you know, of the college life, so to speak. And, you know, just focus on that sort of, if you got 20% or 15% who are like that, it's a winner.
Yeah. No, boys, can't disagree. I think that brings us very neatly to the end of part two. Again, with all these things, they could always go on for another hour or so. Appreciate your time. I think inspiration is the one thing. I think if you can still be inspired, after having gone through opening up a store in King's Cross,
oh my God, yeah,
or Taiwan, or Crawley, and then still inspire others, I think that's amazing. I'm off to get Ollie's surgeon so that I can get my teeth done and my transplant. And this episode of The Noble Barber was brought to you by Tenor Lady.
That's the one.
Guys, I've been Anthony Laban. This has been The Noble Barber. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone, or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.